Thank you, and welcome once again to the radio broadcast of the Independence Baptist Church of Forestdale, Missouri. We're glad you're listening this morning, and we're thankful to be on the air. We're thankful that God has allowed Independence Baptist Church to have this opportunity to broadcast what the Bible teaches over this radio station. So we're glad that you're listening this morning. We would like to invite you to come to the services at the Independence Baptist Church. We meet at 124 South Main in the city of Forestdale, and we have our Sunday school beginning this morning at 10 o'clock. Now, we have regular classes for every age. We have excellent teachers, and we want you to come. Bring your families, your Bible, and just study the Word of God with us. And then this morning at 11 o'clock is our morning worship service. So we invite you to come to this service also. And then tonight's services begin at 4 o'clock with our prayer service, and then 4:30 for our evening worship. And then Wednesday evening at 7 p.m., we have a midweek Bible study. So we invite you to come to all of these services. And I know that if you're looking for a place where you can just find what the Word of God says, you'll find it at the Independence Baptist Church. We invite you to come. If you have questions about the things that we believe or the things that we preach or the things that we practice, I'll be glad to talk with you about any and all of those things. And I've said a lot of times, I don't like to argue about the Bible, but I sure do like to talk about it. Because, you know, the Bible is the truth. And if we just take the truth of what the Bible says and leave our prejudices behind, then we're going to find out what God is saying to us. And that's the purpose of all Bible study anyway. It's just to find out what God is saying to us. Because if God said it, it must be important, mustn't it? But if you have questions about anything that we believe, anything that we practice or preach, you can contact us by writing to the Independence Baptist Church, Post Office Box 70 in Forestdale, Missouri. And I'll be glad to get back with you on those things. For the past few Sunday mornings, we've been preaching concerning the founding of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's been a great study for me. Some of the points that we've covered, just to be very brief, is Matthew chapter 16, verse 13 through verse 20. We talked about how that Jesus Christ said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And that's exactly what Jesus did during his own personal ministry. Jesus built his kind of church. And then we talked about when that church was called out. And we read you those passages in the book of Matthew and in the book of Luke, the book of 1 Corinthians, talking about how and when the church was called out by Jesus Christ. Of course, all of this took place before the day of Pentecost. This morning, we'd like to continue in this same line of thought, that is, proclaiming this truth, that the church of the Lord Jesus Christ existed, was fully and complete before the day of Pentecost. Maybe some new things that you're hearing, but I trust that you'll really listen closely and see this, that if God put it in His Word, there's a reason for it. And the church of the Lord Jesus Christ existed before the day of Pentecost. It was not organized on that day. I gave you one point last Sunday morning. That is, that on the day of Pentecost, there was 3,000 souls added to the church. Now, in order for those 3,000 souls to be added to the church, there had to be something to add them to. That just makes sense, doesn't it? And so, you know that it's so. But let's go. This morning, I have a list of proofs I'd like to start giving you just concerning the fact that the church of the Lord Jesus Christ existed before the day of Pentecost. Now, let's look at the very first one. That is the word church itself. The word church comes from the Greek word ekklesia. And the Greek word ekklesia means that called out assembly. The called out body, the called out group. That's what it means. Now, this is exactly what Jesus did. Notice these scriptures. In the book of Matthew chapter 4 and verse 18 through verse 20, the Bible says that Jesus called out Simon Peter and Andrew his brother, and intended for them to be separate from everybody else, from all the world. Jesus Christ intended for these to follow him. Notice this passage. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. Now notice what Jesus said. He said, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And they straightway left their nets and followed him. Let me ask you a question. Did Jesus call them out? Well, he did, didn't he? I mean, they were just fishermen. They were already saved. They were already scripturally baptized. And Jesus said, "I want you to follow me." And so they followed Jesus. Now, that's a calling out after salvation and after baptism, a calling out to follow Jesus. Now, notice that it doesn't end there. The next two verses gives us some more that Jesus called out. Here, the two sons of Zebedee, James and John, were called. And going on from thence, he saw two other brethren, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the ship with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. And he called them. And they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. Now, James and John are just going about their daily task, mending the nets so they can go fishing the next day. But their life is interrupted by a special call from God. And Jesus said, "I want you to come. I want you to follow me." Has that ever happened to you? Listen, that Jesus called you and said, "Come and follow me." And you follow Jesus Christ. Notice this in the book of Matthew chapter 9 and verse 9. Here is a man that is sitting at his job, doing his desk work. And Jesus calls him out. The book of Matthew chapter 9, verse 9. And as Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom. And he saith unto him, "Follow me." And he arose and followed him. Here Jesus called out Matthew, who was another of the apostles, that he's placing in his church. And then notice in the book of John chapter 1 and verse 43, the Bible said, "The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee, and findeth Philip, and saith unto him, Follow me." I think there is a call unto salvation, no doubt about it. But there's also that special call that God gives to people to be in his church. And God gave me that. And I trust today that God will open your ears, that you might be able to hear this special message, and that you will follow the Lord Jesus Christ in his kind of church. Notice this. Also, Jesus referred to his church as a flock, not only before Pentecost, but also after the day of Pentecost, because the church was the church before the day of Pentecost. All right? Now look in the book of Luke chapter 12 and verse 32. Here's what Jesus said to his disciples before the day of Pentecost. Listen carefully what Jesus said. "Fear not, little flock, for it is in your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." So what did Jesus call those followers that were going to get the kingdom? He called them little flock because they were few in number at that time. But notice in the book of Acts chapter 20 and verse 28 through verse 29 that as Paul was on his way to Jerusalem and he knows that he will never see this group of people again, notice what he calls them. Acts chapter 20 verse 28. "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God." Notice this point now, folks. That Jesus Christ, before the day of Pentecost, called the church a little flock. And Paul called them a flock after the day of Pentecost. Notice also in the book of Matthew 26 that Jesus called the church a flock on more than one occasion. Matthew 26 verse 31. "Then said Jesus unto them, All ye shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. So Jesus, quoting prophecy, declared that the church is a flock. Isn't that a great thing? I mean, isn't that marvelous just to see that truth? And then in the book of 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 2 and 3, here's what Peter gave instructions to do. He said, feed the flock of God which is among you. And of course, in 1 Peter chapter 5, that chapter is written to pastors. What are pastors supposed to do? Well, they're supposed to feed the flock, aren't they? What's the flock? The flock is the church. They're supposed to feed the church which is among them, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. And so this is a great thing, that the church was organized by Jesus Christ. Notice something else. The church had the gospel before the day of Pentecost. The book of Mark chapter 1 verse 1 states, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Isn't that a great thing? Notice also in the book of Matthew chapter 10 and verse 7 that Jesus Christ sent the 12 apostles into all the nation of Israel and told them to preach the gospel. In the book of Luke chapter 10 and verse 1 through 17, Christ sent the 70 elders into all the nation of Israel and commanding them to preach the gospel. Isn't that a good thing? Not only was the gospel preached before the day of Pentecost, but the Holy Spirit of God was able to move and work in the hearts of His people before the day of Pentecost. Notice, in the book of Matthew chapter 10, when Jesus sent out those 12 apostles, He told them this. He said, when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what ye shall speak. For it shall be given you in that same hour what ye shall speak. For it is not ye that speak, now listen to this, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. Look at that. So the gospel was out there before the day of Pentecost, and not only was the gospel out, but the Holy Spirit of God was working in the children of God. You think that's marvelous? Get this one. The book of John chapter 4 verse 1 and 2, there was baptisms before the day of Pentecost. The Bible said, when therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples. I think it's really evident that there's baptism before the day of Pentecost. Jesus was baptized not in order to be saved, but in order to fulfill all righteousness. And Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist, the man that had the authority, and John was sent from God for the explicit purpose of preparing the way of Jesus Christ. Not only is this marvelous truth so, that the gospel was there, that the Holy Spirit was working in God's people before the day of Pentecost, and baptism was before the day of Pentecost, but did you know the Lord's Supper was given and received before the day of Pentecost? The book of Matthew chapter 26 and verse 26 states that before the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. Also in the book of Mark and Luke gives the same explanation. And so all of these things were before the day of Pentecost. Not only is that so, that the Lord's Supper was in effect before the day of Pentecost, but also there was an ordained ministry prior to Pentecost. Mark chapter 3 and verse 14 states, and he ordained 12, that they should be with him, and that he might send them forth to preach. And of course, this is confirmed in the book of 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 28, where that Christ set some in the church first, apostles. Well, I see that my time has gone away. We'll continue this very interesting subject next Sunday morning, the Lord willing. Thank you for listening.